I should have been recording this whole conversation about getting the name exactly right, because that's always fun radio. Go ahead.
I can't even say it. Welcome to the Bitter Comics Comedy. Welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast. Here's your host, JT Foreman.
Yay! Yeah. Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I am here with my good friend, Sean Boogie.
What's up?
We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 44, I would like to apologize to black people, sexism, math, and the letters R and L.
The 26 got off easy this last
part. Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. The other 24 letters of the alphabet, fuck them. Just R and L. I feel really bad about the shit I did last time.
That's funny. That's actually a grocery store in Fresno, actually.
Actually, it is. Is it owned by Chinese people? Because I believe my comment was that I know this Chinese guy, he can pronounce R and L, but he always reverses them in words.
I think it is owned by Chinese
Instead people. Of wrong, he'll say long.
Yeah.
And instead of long, he'll say wrong.
Yeah.
You went the wrong way.
The wrong way.
That's why it took you so long. Because I went the wrong way? Yeah, you went wrong way. You could go straight there, but you go wrong way.
Wrong way. They also don't say...
Long way. I went the long way. Yeah, long that's way. What I say. You say wrong way.
Yeah.
It confuses me. You know, hilarious. Let me finish this, and then I'll tell you more about Chinese people that I've experienced lately. If anyone out there would like to know specifically why I'm apologizing, just check out episode 44 and all the previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to Bitter Comics, just go to the side of that website, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any further apologies or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And then the subject line, please put, Encyclopedia Salesmen Are Nothing Like Vietnam Vets. You look like you need an explanation for that one, too. Okay, this is what I did. Encyclopedia Britannica just went out of business.
Right. I thought they went all online.
Or they just went straight they went online, but they're not printing the book anymore.
Right.
And got into talking about Encyclopedia Salesmen, and I was just thinking, you know, they had to have seen this coming for years. Yeah. You know, just like Vietnam was going horribly, and they had to see it coming for years.
Right.
And it was John Kerry who said in an interview, "Who wants to be the last person to die from a mistake?" And I was thinking about Encyclopedia Salesmen, and I mean, who wants to be the last person to go bankrupt for a mistake of trying to sell, continue to sell encyclopedias? So Encyclopedia Salesmen are not like Vietnam vets, except in that one way, I guess.
It'd be more interesting to know who was the last guy. You know what I mean? It was just like, nah, I'm going to stick it out.
And somebody who just loves those books.
Somebody has a bunch of those in his garage.
Well, you know, I remember one time when I was in high school, an Encyclopedia Britannica salesman came to our house and was trying to sell us an encyclopedia. Right. And it just seemed to me like he was talking about it more as if it's a status symbol that you own a set of encyclopedias than that here's this book, this package of reference material you could use. I mean, of course, he did mention that as well. But he made a much bigger deal about the fact that, well, you can tell everyone that you have an Encyclopedia Britannica. And, you know, it looks really good on the bookshelf and see how pretty the leather-bound blah, blah, blah is.
Right.
And, you know, I just remember thinking, for about 9 months until the next one comes out. And then, you know, as soon as it turns the next year, people are like, how come you have last year's?
Right.
Now, that just makes you look more ghetto. Frankly, I think you're better off just buying the Funkin' Wagnalls from the grocery store as each one comes out. You remember that?
The Funkin' Waggles?
Funkin' Wagnalls. That's the encyclopedia my dad ended up getting. The grocery store, a different book would come out every couple of weeks, and as the new ones came out, he would buy the new one. It was like $6 or $7 for the book.
Right.
And of course, you know, there's 30 books in the encyclopedia. Yeah. So it would take you half the year to buy all of the encyclopedia. And I tried explaining this to my teacher. Look, I don't have that one yet.
I will soon.
My homework isn't done because we're only up to the G's at the grocery store. It's not my fault. You're going to have to blame. You're going to have to call Vons about this.
Right.
You know, I know you wanted me to do my essay on spaceships, but I don't have S yet. It's not going to come out until like June.
Right.
So it went soon, June comes along, you're going to have that essay, I swear to God. But there's nothing I can do about it now. And she said some nonsense about going to the library or something crazy like that.
That's funny, yeah. I remember when I was younger, yeah, they would come for the encyclopedias. I remember that.
Did your parents ever buy encyclopedias?
Yeah, we had two volumes of it. I remember one of the books was all white.
Was it Encyclopedia Britannica or was it a different one?
And I think it was that encyclopedia. Well, you know, because that's one that used to be brown, wasn't it? Brown leather?
Well, I mean, you could buy it with different kinds of covers.
Right. Well, we had one that was the brown leather.
I remember you wanted to pay a whole lot extra, you could get like the alligator skin one or something crazy like that. They had several different kinds of bindings you could get. And it was probably more expensive depending on which binding you got.
I just remember the brown leather ones we had, and I remember later in life we had one that was like a blue and white leather type thing. Those were skinnier though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, now everyone's just got the internet, so, I mean, what are we supposed to rip the pages out of so we can tape it to ourselves and pretend it's a bulletproof vest when we're playing as a kid, right? I did that once. My dad was pissed. we were playing cops and robbers, and I remember thinking, well, if I'm going to be the cop, I should have a bulletproof vest.
Right.
So I went and I got some books, and I ripped the paper out of it. So I just had that, and then I taped that around my body.
Yeah.
And then my dad came home.
There goes my prescription to Vons right down the drain.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the more and more they put books online, I think it's more of a bad thing, only because it's there's nothing to show. You know what I mean? All it takes is one virus or one this or one that, and then everything's lost, and it's like, then what?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things about that. Now, one is that problem right there. I mean, all of these, they want you to buy all your music online, right, buy your books online, and if the stuff gets wiped somehow, I can't figure out if... Can I go back to the website, put in my username and password, and re-download everything for free? Now, if I can, then that's great. You know, okay, I can go ahead and buy stuff online. I just have to hope that company doesn't go out of business.
Right.
But that's the reason that I want to have the disc for a video game or for music, or I want to have the book if it's a book, because then... If my computer, I have to wipe the hard drive every 6 months just because. I mean, a virus gets on there, many files, it ends up as a mess, and you just want to clear it and start over. And if I can re-download this, all this stuff for free, that's fine, but I don't want to have to pay for it again. I mean, how many times do I have to buy the White Album? Seriously.
That's true. But you,
I mean, it
you
was
know,
record, and, yeah. you know, of course, records, and then 8-tracks, and then cassettes, and then CDs, and now DVDs, and next there's going to be like some microchip brain implants.
Well, that's what it almost is.
Now. You know, so I still think that they need to stop doing all this other nonsense and put everything on flash drives like this. Of course, here I am holding this up on a radio show, which is great radio. Here, take a look. See? Isn't that neat?
Well, I mean, that's my point exactly. The flash drive took place as a CD.
Well, think about this. This is what I'd like them to do, is get rid of the VCR, get rid of the DVD player, get rid of the disc drives, get rid of everything else. And like, instead of buying a DVD player for your TV,
right?
It's just that either they could build it into the TV, or it could be just this little box, and then it's got a couple of USB ports on there, and then you plug in a flash drive. They could start selling the movies on flash drives. You know, and flash drives are pretty cheap now. I mean, I bought a bunch of 2 gig flash drives for $2 each.
Damn, really?
Yeah, I ordered them online. I ordered 50 of them.
Wow.
Because, you know, I'm working on putting something together so I can hand the flash drives out.
But
I mean, if I can buy 50 of them at $2 each, then a company who's going to sell 500,000 copies of their movie can certainly get them. They could probably get those 2 gig flash drives for
pennies.
For pennies. So I think they should get rid of all that other stuff. Then you don't need the drive anymore. All you need is something with a USB port on it. You plug it in and away you go.
Well, somebody's going to take that idea and become a millionaire over
it. Yeah, I shouldn't have said this on the... Well, nobody listens to my podcast.
You never know.
You don't keep anything a secret. You just come on to Bitter Comics and you talk all about it.
That's crazy. That is a... And I would act as... I don't even think that would be an expensive turnover. You know what I mean? When you went from like records to CDs or anything to VHS and tapes, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's a expense because you had to buy all new machines. But if you go to like zip drives, all that stuff's already out there.
Yeah, there's companies that, like the company that I ordered these flash drives from, for an extra 25 cents, I could have sent them anything and they would put that on every one of them, an extra 25 cents per flash drive. And, you know, I could have sent them a whole batch of files or programs or anything, and they would have preloaded it on every single one of the flash drives. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, they've got companies already that are setting up and making these and doing that. So, you know, you just got to scale up, and that just makes everything cheaper.
Well, most TVs, don't they have a USB port on the back, though, don't they? Some of them?
I assume some of them do, but I don't know what those USB ports are for. I mean, they're usually... The question is there something in the TV to run whatever's on that flash drive? So does the file have to be a specific format? I mean, they could. I mean, you put the movie file on the flash drive in the format, and then have the TV program so that if you put something in the flash drive, it recognizes it. And then, you know, you got your remote control, and it just brings up the control panel up on there for fast forward play and all that stuff. You know, they could get rid of it, a whole extra machine that we're buying. You know, there's no need anymore for the... And plus, there's no moving parts in this.
Right.
So it's going to last a whole lot longer.
Oh, yeah. You just plug in. But, well, yeah, it'd actually be cheaper because no matter what, if you scratch your CD or if you, you know, mess up your VHS, you're still out of luck.
Yeah, but with a flash drive, I mean, you could throw those things across the room and they're going to be okay. You know, they're small and they're light enough that it's kind of hard to damage them. You really have to break them on purpose. I have my flash drive attached to my keychain. I've dropped my keychain dozens of times and it still works fine.
Right. That's an excellent idea. That's an investment for you, JT.
Too bad I spent all my money on these frozen pizzas. You sure you don't want a pizza?
No, fine. 600 frozen pizzas.
This is America's best-selling frozen pizza. At least that's what it says on the box.
That's what the box says.
Totino's is awesome.
Totino's.
Yummy.
That's a plug, so free advertisement.
Hooray. What was the other thing? There was another thing about the music and stuff online that I was going to say. And I can't remember what it was now. Because I had 2 points. I even said, it's two things about that, and then one. Now I can't remember. Damn it. Oh, well. So how's it going, dude?
It's going good. No complaints. Like I said, nothing that anybody will listen to or even care about. So comedy, I think, is going well. I'm progressing the way on a good solid pace. Like, you know.
You said earlier you've been going up north to like the San Francisco.
Going up to the San Francisco area or even Pepper Bellies, which is in Fairfield, and just trying to get recognized and a little bit more attention up there. One is I think it's a cheaper route and a equally probably successful route to go. A lot of stuff's moving up north anyway because you got Silicon Valley there, and a lot of production companies are moving up that way because of – you know, everything's all CGI and all that stuff anyway, and a lot of those companies are there. So, you know, I mean, a lot of the companies are going to be fading out of Hollywood and fading up that way no matter what. So if you can get recognized up there in voiceover work and commercial work or whatever it is, I mean.
Well, I mean, there's basically two places that entertainment is centered in the country. There's New York and there's Los Angeles. But there are two other places in this country that seem to be the real springboards for entertainment, and that's for comedy anyway. And that's San Francisco because of the comedy scene and Chicago because of the improv scene.
Right.
I mean, you got places like... crap, it just flew out of my mind all of a sudden. But there's a bunch of improv schools in Chicago, like where was Groundlings and
I'm not familiar with the names, but I know that's a lot of people come from there in Atlanta and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of guys on Saturday Night Live started at some of the improv troops in Chicago. Okay. But anyway, thanks again for coming out. We're gonna take a break here real quick. We'll be right back. I am JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right. So I was talking about Chinese dudes earlier. The R and the L thing. I just want to tell you about a gentleman that I met yesterday morning. Now my girlfriend's mother's birthday was Thursday. And she decided to hold a surprise party for her yesterday.
Okay.
Saturday. And she asked me to go to this buffet place nearby where she ordered some food to, you know, to do the catering. I get there at 10 o'clock, and I get out of my car, and I'm walking toward the place, and I hear this voice come from another car in the parking lot. And the gentleman said, "Closed! Open at 11! I turned and I looked at him, and I held up the receipt, and I said, "I'm just here to pick up a catering order." And then he said to me, "Okay, you go inside."
Was the door open?
No, well, the door was unlocked, yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy was, you know, sitting in his car in the parking lot. I assume he's like, because it's a Chinese family, I assume it's Chinese. I can't tell between different Asians. Right. I just assume it's Chinese because I'm not a racist. I'm lazy. I don't care enough about the different races to go through the effort of figuring out
who's who. Right.
Like, what kind of white guy are you? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know?
The white guy.
Yeah, the white one. I'm the white one, you know? And what kind of Asian a person is, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I like Asian chicks. I think they're hot, and don't care which one.
Right. Sorry. Just give me one.
Yeah.
Under 5'5".
And the girl I'm dating is Filipino now.
Oh, really?
She's under 5'5", so it's awesome. I'm thrilled.
You're in the mix.
That's right. So, I go inside and I get the food, and, as I'm leaving, he says to me, "Thank you. You come back."
The guy in the parking lot?
Yes. Guy in the parking lot. So like I said, I assume that he's like the patriarch of the family that owns and runs the restaurant.
He might be
that's my assumption.
The village shaman, the Chinese shaman.
But
Chinese food shaman.
You know, he sounded so angry, but he obviously wasn't. Otherwise he wouldn't, you know, he would, "Okay, you go inside." You know, he's welcoming me in.
Right.
You know, and he's thanking me for and asking me to come back. So he's not angry, but he sounded angry. So all I can figure is that the angry person was the guy who taught him English. And maybe he thinks that's how you're supposed to speak. Because the guy who taught him English was really pissed off about it.
Yeah. I said it's the. Yeah, he's cussing him out.
And you know, I can understand trying to teach someone a whole nother language and, you know, the pronunciation style and what stuff you have to do with your mouth is totally different.
Yeah.
With languages that are that different from each other. So I imagine it must be frustrating trying to teach a language to someone. So I can see how the guy teaching him English got really pissed off and was mad the whole time. And now this Chinese guy just thinks Americans are supposed to sound angry.
All the time.
All the time. And so that's why he sounded like that. He sounded angry, but he wasn't. He was a very nice gentleman.
It could have been because their languages, well, most of the Asian languages are all of them are pretty much based upon tones. So even if they speak a different language, they're still probably thinking of the emphasis on each letter or word because that's how, you know.
Oh, I mean? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the other languages.
It's all based upon tones.
Yeah, every time I'm around my girlfriend and her parents, she speaks to them in Filipino, and I know they're talking about me.
It's Tagalog. Yeah, it's Tagalog.
I know they're talking about. Is that the name of the Filipino
language? Well, my wife's Filipino. Yes, Tagalog.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, I'm going to have to learn Tagalog then.
I don't even try.
But I'm not going to tell her that I know Tagalog.
Oh.
I'm going to learn it.
Well, you have to go on.
I can eavesdrop and find out what she really thinks of me.
You have to go on Rosetta Stone. You have to get the Rosetta Stone learn.
Is that the best one?
I don't know.
Rosetta Stone?
They talk shit on the
commercials. I gotta try something. I gotta, because I know she's talking about me, and maybe I'm just being insecure. Okay, no, maybe I'm being insecure, assuming that she's talking about me. So I'm gonna have to do something about it.
Where did you meet this girl at?
Oh, she's a nurse at the VA hospital.
Oh, a nurse. Okay, yeah. At the VA hospital.
And I was very proud of myself for this. She asked me why I asked her out, And I said that when she was taking my blood pressure and holding my hand, it just felt right. Come on, up here.
What about when I hold you here? Now that doesn't feel right, but I like it. I like it.
That feels really wrong.
Yeah, it feels wrong. Don't move it.
Way wrong. Don't stop.
Don't stop.
In the wrong way.
You don't have any oil, do you? Baby oil, perhaps?
Something. Motor oil. Whatever. Yeah. As long as it's slippery.
It's slippery. Extra lube.
Exactly. All right. So, okay. So, let's, before we start the news, many of our listeners know, as both of our listeners know, I want to support my town. So, each episode I go to this website called textfromlastnight.com. And they did have alcohol and drug-induced text messages people send. And I look for one from they list the area code of the webs of the text message. So I look up 559, which is our area code, to try to find one because I want to support my town.
Right.
And I find a text message from our area code to talk about. And the 559 text of the week is, "Did I crawl through the hotel lobby all the way to our room?" That's it. I'm kind of curious what the answer was.
Or when did they text it?
Yeah. And what kind of hotel was it?
And who was she with who allowed her to crawl?
And what's her phone number?
Because obviously she likes it doggy style because she was on all fours crawling and it was easy access.
Well, a cool thing about the website is that you can vote on whether you think that text is an indicator of a good night or a bad night.
Right.
And this is 3-1. People have voted that this was a good night.
Okay. It's kind of up in the air text, though.
That's true. I mean, it could mean a whole lot of things. I mean, maybe she was at a party, got drunk, or, you know, maybe someone roofied her and she just barely made it back.
Or maybe she just walked to her room and was bored as hell and was lonely, and because nobody was paying her any attention, she came up with this wild-ass text.
That's a little sad now. We're going to think positively. Look on the bright side here.
Okay, the bright side was, yeah, some dude gave her a roofie or however you want to say it.
There you go.
And he didn't get lucky, but
that's better.
She got the effects.
Okay. and next to our list for the week. Now, Terry Michaels likes lists. Unfortunately, he didn't make it for the show this week, but I got a list anyways. Coming to us from Audi.com, this is a list of the 10 coolest brothels and bordellos.
Excellent.
So if you're looking for something more exciting and interesting than you just generic, here's the money, let's boned.
Or if you have change in your pocket and you don't know what to do with it.
Yes. So this person apparently has scoured the world for the 10 craziest bordellos and brothels. So number one, this one is called Big Sister. This is the ultimate brothel for voyeurs at this unique brothel located in the Czech Republic. The Czech and Slovak ladies will service their clientele for free in exchange for their patrons agreeing to have their sex acts videotaped and broadcast to eager viewers near and far. So, have you ever seen those websites, live sex? Yes. You could be a star. Just go to the Czech Republic and you get to have sex with the girl for free. But they get to record it and put it on the internet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would do that.
I know I wouldn't. But that's not that I wouldn't be tempted.
The temptation is definitely there. It's picturing myself, you know what I mean, on a low frequency webcam. Broadcasting to the whole world is just that's the part that's like I guess if it was high def it'd be worse, but
yeah, well, that's true. Are they using the zoom lens?
Yeah.
No, see, I would not zoom. Want to I don't want to see myself naked. I'm not going to show myself to other people. I would have to get into shape first, and that's more effort than I'm willing to go through.
Yeah, it would take a lot of Carlos Rossi for me.
Number two, the Alien Cat House. Dennis Hoff, the man behind the famous Moonlight Bunny Ranch, which is the setting for the HBO reality show Cat House, he has plans to create a new brothel that promises quote, truly out of this world sexual experiences for sci-fi fans. It's going to be located 90 miles outside of Las Vegas. He says that this Area 51 themed, quote, alien cat house will offer paying customers a chance to get it on with dressed up as any kind of alien that turns them on.
That's pretty wild.
You can have a chick dress up as the green chick from Star Trek. And, you know, have you ever wanted to do, what's the chick with the bone on her head from Babylon 5?
Oh, I'm not too familiar with the Star Wars stuff or the,
you know, I'd be happy stuff. With Princess Leia in the stainless steel.
Yeah.
Bikini.
Or maybe I'm the sure blue, the blue chick from the Fifth Element.
The blue chick from the Fifth Element? Oh, yeah, okay. The opera singer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do I get to reach inside her and pull out the stones afterwards?
Yeah. You'd be pulling your stones out afterwards. Your stones. I don't know. That one's kind of... it's funny that they say it's 90 miles outside of Vegas. No longer think that's called Las Vegas. If it's 90 miles away, it's just call it for what it is.
Well, I mean, it's if I remember right, prostitution isn't actually legal in all of Nevada, just in certain counties.
Oh, really?
So, you know, maybe I guess this is just, you know, the closest county to Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think it'll probably be, it might work for them only because, you know, dudes are horny and that's right up their alley.
You know what? Nerdy dudes need sex, too.
Yeah.
Right? It's
either that or...
What's the freakiest? Sheeps. What's the freakiest alien you would do it with?
The freakiest alien?
I think the chick from Species.
Oh yeah, but she doesn't classify as freaky though, because she's more seductive.
Yeah, mid transformation though, she couldn't be all the way transformed into the crazy looking alien. But mid transformation, I think I can handle that.
Yeah, keep some of the humanoid.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
All right, number three, the Nana Entertainment Plaza. If there's a hub to the debauchery in Bangkok, this is it. The Nana Entertainment Plaza in Thailand is a four-story building housing over 40 bars. Damn. Most of them are go-go bars, but it's different from regular brothels because the sex acts and money paid are negotiated between the man and the dancers directly. There's no middle person such as a pimp or madam. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What about the guy who owns the place? I have a feeling that he's getting a piece of the action.
Pretty much.
But that's 40 bars in this one, a four-store building with 40 bars in it?
Right, but is it a full-scale bar or a little hole in the wall with a couple of drinks? You know what I mean? What do they really classify as their bars? But either way, anything that's tied to alcohol and Asian chicks, I think I'll probably be front row.
That's a good point. Number four, the site. Australia has many legal brothels to choose from. Really?
Illegal?
Legal.
Brothel? Oh, legal.
I didn't know that prostitution was legal anywhere in Australia. This one called The Site in Sydney, they advertise anything from wild and raunchy brunette to hot and sassy blonde Aussie and everything in between. That sounds just like a normal bordello. It just happens to be
legal in Australia.
So you get someone with a Crocodile Dundee's accent.
I don't know. It's not much appealing.
This one's good. Number five, the Star Wars bordello.
That one would suck because you'd never get in.
Yeah.
The lines would always be too long. Especially after one of the stupid Star Wars conventions. Well, I guess not stupid because I'm a fan, but either way, you know, I mean, after a convention, you'd never be able to go there because you'd never get in.
Well, this isn't really a bordello, though. I mean, this is the guy cheated on this list just because he wanted to throw the Star Wars thing in there. This newly opened bordello in Los Angeles is a nightclub and bordello featuring nightly music, burlesque dancers, and oddly enough, a regular striptease act featuring Star Wars characters.
That sounds whack.
Here's the stormtrooper chick in outfit stripping here in this picture. Of course, we can't show this to anyone listening to the show, but just go to audi.com and you can find the list of this.
Yeah, but she's tattooed up. I don't think a stormtrooper chick would be tattooed up.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You know, it'd be more like a, she's a marking or whatever of her alien culture. I don't know if she'd be running around to the local tattoo parlor to be tattooed up.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not really stormtroopery. It's just a helmet, really.
It's a helmet and a white bikini.
Yeah, so.
And bustier.
I think it's a tease. In L.A., you know, you're not getting anything free sex, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like a good idea, but
yeah, they need to put that next to the Mustang Ranch.
The Mustang the Ranch, yeah. Ranch, so you can think about having sex with an alien, but you can go 90 miles.
You can go 90 miles
outside Las Vegas,
have sex with a real
alien
instead of just someone with a stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah,
but you know what? I bet at the alien cat house, you could get them to have a chick put on the stormtrooper helmet.
Probably could,
because Star Wars, that's outer space. It might not be an alien, but you
know. Very true, and it's a long way to go to get your stiffy and then have to get a plane ticket, save that stiffy all the way to relieving the stiffy.
Exactly.
Stiffy relieving. Yeah.
Well, hey, we're going to take a break real quick and we'll finish the list when we get back. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics and we're back. All right. Continue on with our list of coolest bordellos and brothels. Number 6. The Mustang Ranch Resort. This legal brothel near Reno, Nevada aims to become the, quote, Ritz-Carlton of brothels. It's really a luxury hotel, and staying there does not cost anything, but you have to have hired one of their ladies to escort you at all times.
Wow, the whole time?
Yes, the whole time you're there, you have to pay one of the ladies on staff to accompany you around the premises. Regardless of whether you're visiting alone or bringing someone else with you, you have to have one of their girls with you. So you get to stay at their fancy schmancy hotel for free, but you have to hire one of their girls.
Well, I don't think it's really going to... It says for free, but there's no way for free. If you even take the joke of the CIA with that whole Brazilian chick where basically she wanted $900 for a night in what is considered a third world country, then if you come to the United States and you have the same girl follow you around... You're going to be spending more than $900 a night.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard different stories about how much money the discussion was over.
Right.
But we will get into that one, because that's one of the new stories we're going to talk about later. It's the secret servicing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Number 7, Stiletto. It claims to be the world's finest short stay boutique hotel and Sydney brothel.
That's in where? Sydney, Australia,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, another one in Australia. And the lavish interior with two-story waterfalls and posh rooms set this place apart due to sheer luxury. Choose from room suites with themes such as James Bond, Betty Boop, Kama Sutra, Voyeur, and Roman Orgy.
Roman Orgy.
And then select the perfect date to complete your fantasy. Yay. You know, actually, I'm kind of glad that this kind of stuff, you know, prostitution isn't legal around here, because I'm broken up all the times it is. You know, you always hear, I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast before, you always hear people talking about what they would do if they won the lottery. I would build a house next door to the Bunny Ranch. I mean, you've heard of people with $500 a day cocaine habits.
Yeah.
I would have a $5,000 a day pussy habit.
That's true. That's what I always say. I'd be like, I spend it all on strippers.
Exactly.
Every dime of it would go on strippers.
Number 8, mobile sex. Prostitution is legal in France as of 2003. Sex solicitation is illegal, which leads local prostitutes in Lyon, France, to get creative. White vans line the city and suburban streets.
Oh, God.
An open door means they're open for business. A closed door and rocking van means you'll have to come back later for your turn.
Yeah. So, that gives a whole new meaning to sloppy seconds, I guess.
Yeah.
If the vans are rocking, don't go and knock them. Yeah.
That's right.
Lord.
Number 9, Maison de Neve. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. This Berlin, Germany-based brothel responded to a recent economic downturn in a very unusual way. They offer a discount to customers who arrive on bicycle or can prove they take public transportation. Claiming they care about the environment and also want to alleviate the crowded traffic and parking situation near the brothel, the owners say that the discount is bringing in 3 to 4 new customers per week on average. So if you take the bus to the brothel, you can get a discount.
That's sad in so many ways. Like, it's bad enough when you take your car and you got to sneak up to the building. How do you explain walking a block to go get laid?
Yeah. Ride the bicycle.
Ride the bicycle. hide from your wife in the minivan.
Yeah. It's like, honey, what? Where are you going? Oh, I'm just going out to get some milk. Why don't you take the car? No, I'll ride my bike.
Ride my bike.
It's good for the environment. Oh, really? You're going to ride your bike, huh?
for some milk and condoms.
Exactly. Finally, number one, the Pasha, P-A-S-C-H-A. The Pasha is a 12-story, 29,000-square-foot brothel in Cologne, Germany. Roughly 120 prostitutes service over 1,000 customers per day at this, the largest brothel in all of Europe. That is a big whorehouse.
What, how many prostitutes?
120 serving over 1,000 per day. So that's an average of 9 a day. Each prostitute is servicing 9 people a day.
Oh, my God. Is it worth even ringing the doorbell?
The doorbell sticks, actually.
I mean, does everything good else. Lord.
I mean, just disposing of all of the used semen every day must clog their drains, Lord. Pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's tons. That's tons. Because that's when they say average, that means sometimes there's more.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's less, you know.
Oh,
but
it's been a slow day. I only got bounced up and down on top of 7 times today.
Today was a good day. I had 20 tricks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, and that is the list of the 10 coolest brothels and bordellos from the website audi.com. I'll put a link in the show notes so everyone can find those more easily. Just, I want hands on the table when you're looking at this page. Okay. I'm not here to contribute to anyone else's delinquency, only my own.
Be careful. Jeez.
Okay, so should we get into the news?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. We've got a couple of pieces of Penguin news.
Penguin news?
Penguin news. First piece of Penguin news, Newt Gingrich was bit by a penguin.
Excellent.
He was at a zoo and a penguin bit him. I don't have any real details for that story. I just think it's just, I mean, even the penguin knows.
So, yeah. I don't understand him. Is he still in the race or is he out in middle? He's in denial. I've known that for a while, but
he's announced that he's going to be announcing his withdrawal from the race soon.
Oh, God. And he's already filed bankruptcy on that.
Yeah. The $500 check to the State Board of Elections in Utah bounced to get his name on the ballot. If your check to get on the ballot is bouncing, you know, I think that's who we should vote for.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, they're all millionaires. So that's like basically cutting a $5 check.
Well, I'm still of the opinion that half of the people running who ran for the Republican presidential nominee were just on a really elaborate book tour.
Probably.
Because how many of the guys and girls running for the Republican nomination had books out at the time? Newt Gingrich, it seemed like every other speech that he gave, he either talked about a book or a video that either he or his wife was selling.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Cain, he was constantly talking about his book.
Right.
And this was awesome. Norman Cain was just recently interviewed by, what's the British dude from The Daily Show?
Oh, I don't know his name. I know you're talking about, though.
Crap. I can't remember his name now either. But anyway, he asked Herman Cain to give a speech as if he were president and he was trying to inspire people to fight off the alien invasion.
That's funny.
And he actually did it.
Wow.
And John Oliver. That's the dude.
Okay.
And according to John Oliver, anyways, it was a really good speech. So I will try to find that and put a link to that in the show notes too. But that's awesome. Someone who was running for president, you asked him to give a speech. See, that's one thing that makes me kind of wish Herman Cain were the nominee. I mean, that would be kind of cool to have a president with a sense of humor good enough to be able to be willing to do that. Like, I saw Obama on Jimmy Fallon a few days ago.
Right.
And doing the slow jazz of the news.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the highlights of that, yeah.
I remember during the 2008 presidential campaign, it was like, well, who would you rather have a beer with? I don't drink.
Right.
But who would you rather sit around and tell jokes with?
Right.
And you know, and I think Barack Obama, he seems like kind of a cool dude.
Yeah, he's in that video. Have you seen that video that he was in?
Which one?
That hoop, there it is.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he's in that video.
Is he in it against his will, or did he do it on purpose?
I think it was, you know, it was in his younger days.
Oh, okay.
He's in there with smoking a cigar. It's a clear as day picture.
Cool.
So you have to YouTube, whoop, there it is, that song. And in that video, he's in that, the original video.
Well, you know, just because someone has a sense of humor once in a while doesn't mean that they can't be serious. Now, right. You know, as President of the United States, he's been pretty serious about it. And,
right.
And whether you think he's doing a good job or not, he's working hard. And I think he is doing a good job, but, you know, there's things I don't like that he's done.
Right.
But he has not been slacking off. He has not spent all of his time at his ranch in Texas clearing brush, like George W. Bush was doing.
Right. My only problem with Barack is I think that I'm a little bit different on that. I think that he not really necessarily slacking. It's just he doesn't finish the job that he starts. You know what I mean? He's kind of like the husband who, you know, all the projects around the house are like half done. And that's almost how I look at him. It seems like everything, he starts it and gets it going, and then he leads on to the next project instead of finished seeing if, you know, the first project's finished. And he keeps doing. And then it's not until, you know, he hears or feels or whatever that's about to crash when he comes running back and is like, no, let me just add a nail here or a hammer there, you know.
Well, you know, it's the President of the United States isn't the person who actually does anything.
Right.
He's... like, okay, this is what's going to happen, and you guys go take care of this. You guys go take care of that. It's like the CEO of a company is not the one who builds or designs the new cars.
Right.
He's the one who gives all the assignments out. But, you know, every once in a while, you got to get directly involved into stuff or it's just not going to happen. So, and I do think there are certain things that are just so serious that I wish he would get more. I wish he hadn't waited so long to start getting more involved in trying to get peace in the Middle East, yeah. You know, between Israel and Palestine. I wish. This is just in general. I think it's one of the greatest foreign policy failures of my lifetime that Russia is not in NATO by now. After the Soviet Union fell apart, I think we should have made a point of trying to become friends with Russia.
Right.
And instead, we just kind of left that on its own, and now they basically have a dictator, you know, electing himself every 4 years,
right.
with Putin. I mean, come on, there's no way. He may very well have legitimately won those elections, but there's no way he got 90% of the vote. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That's how a lot of them, yeah, that's dictatorship. A lot of them do it like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I ever become a dictator, there's a couple of things I want you to make sure. Make sure I don't have a big red button that marks self-destruct.
Okay.
Make sure that I don't have any deep pits, deep bottomless pits for no reason in the middle of my secret lair.
Okay, for nobody to fall in.
And make sure that I don't try to win any of my elections by better than 65%.
Wow.
Because everyone's just going to call bullshit on it if I do.
Yeah.
Even if I do win by more than that, make sure you remind me that I got to fudge the numbers to give me 64. Because no one's going to buy that shit. You get better than a D, and everyone's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, well, Russia's pretty much run by mafia by now anyway, so.
That's true. Mafia and former KGB, yeah. Which are kind of the same thing at this point.
So, I mean, him being elected, I don't think really has a bearings over there anymore.
Yeah. Okay, more Penguin news. This is the other Penguin news for the week. Three young Britons will appear in court in Australia. They've been accused of stealing a penguin during a drunken night out. The three...
Were they going to eat it?
They got wasted and broke into a SeaWorld marine park in Australia where they allegedly also stripped to their underwear and swam with the dolphins.
Wow.
Apparently, they remembered their hijinks only when they woke up the following mornings with hangovers and carrying a small penguin named Dirk. Dirk the penguin was on the carpet of their rented apartment. Yesterday, one of the men... appeared on Australian television, said that he admitted that it was a bad mistake. You think?
Wow, that's crazy.
So they returned to the penguin. They woke up the next morning, recovered from their, with hangovers, right. The penguin. And they're like, oh shit, we got a penguin. No, man, you're still drunk. That's just a really short nun. No, dude, it's a fucking penguin. We stole a penguin. Where the hell do we get a penguin? SeaWorld, that's where everyone gets their penguins.
Wow.
Why do you know that?
A penguin.
They returned the penguin. That's why they got caught. They returned the penguin. I think Australia should go easy on these guys. So they brought the Penguin back. And you know what? That's probably the best time that Penguin has had in a long time.
Yeah, it wasn't in a cage. He was probably like, fuck it, finally I'm free and I'm not with, you know, I'm with drunk guys or Americans or humans or whatever you want to put it, but at least I'm not getting screwed by a drunk zookeeper.
That's true. Oh, hey, we're going to take a break real quick, and then we'll come back with some non-Penguin-related news. I'm JT Foreman with The Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back.
See ya.
This is JT Foreman. We are The Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay. Well, we're on Penguins. Let's stick with the Animal Kingdom. Cannibalism is horrible. But it's even more sad when it appears in nature. Say hello to Darcy, a Colorado cow who escaped her pen, walked half a mile to go through the local McDonald's drive-thru. That's right. Darcy the cow escaped from her pen in Colorado and was found at the local McDonald's drive-thru.
It's an Egg McMuffin. She wanted an Egg McMuffin.
Yeah, she wanted an Egg McMuffin.
Hold the milk.
Eat more chicken.
Yeah, eat more chicken, but hold the milk.
Yeah, I don't know what she ordered. It didn't really say, but this is the takeout cow.
It was moolicious, whatever it was.
Moolicious. Yeah, she probably just ordered fries and a milkshake. And
can't order a milkshake.
She come back to visit her family or to get her milk back?
Maybe Uncle Fester.
Both. It's like, I'm here to repossess.
Yeah, repossess.
That stuff is not yours. next, we've got a woman who was fired after donating a kidney for her boss. Okay, apparently there's this system they have set up where you need a kidney transplant. You can get moved up to the front of the line if you can get someone else to donate a kidney.
Right.
So I guess her kidney didn't go directly to her boss, but you know, this woman convinced one of her employees, and they're both women in this case, to donate a kidney so that then her boss got moved to the front of the line and got a kidney from someone else that matched.
Oh, so she didn't get the kidney from the employee?
No, she didn't give the employee donated a kidney so that she could get a kidney from someone else, one that would match her.
Oh,
so
the, I see.
So
what
she
you're
still
saying.
Donated the kidney for her boss. It just didn't go directly to her boss.
Oh, okay.
It'd be
okay,
like
okay,
if I gave
okay.
that guy over there a kidney so that then that kidney would, this other kidney would then come to you.
Because, okay.
After the kidney removal surgery, the employee suffered some nerve damage, was really sick, and was missing work, so the boss fired her.
Wow, that's crazy.
So she's the woman who was fired is suing for wrongful termination.
I don't think she'll win that case for wrongful termination because the boss probably got her on that. I think she probably has a better chance of probably suing the lady herself because she... You know what I mean? It was almost like an agreement. I did this for you, but there were side effects.
Well, Stevens returned to work 4 weeks later. This is the... I've got these names backwards. I'm sorry. Okay, let's see. Deborah Stevens was working as an assistant to executive Jacqueline Brucia. Okay, Stevens got back to work 4 weeks after the kidney was removed. 3 days after coming back, Stevens said she wasn't feeling well. No sooner, when I got through the door at my house, the phone rang, and it was her, Brucia, the boss, saying, "What are you doing? Why are you home?" Stevens said, "I don't feel well." And then Brucia said, "Well, you can't just come and go as you please. People are going to think you're getting special treatment." And so she fired her for not showing up to work. She said she's had some complications from the surgery, like nerve damage in her leg. But then she said the yelling, her boss yelling at her all the time didn't stop. You know, I've seen that kind of stuff at places where I work before, where you do a favor for your boss.
Right.
And now to prove that there's no special treatment, your boss starts treating you worse.
Yeah. Yeah. That you hear about stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
You hear about stuff like that all the time. But how long did it take for her boss to come back to work, though? How did her boss come back faster than she did?
I don't know. It doesn't go into that much that kind of detail. I mean, it probably took her longer to come back for work because of the nerve damage and the other complications from the surgery. I mean, she had complications from the kidney being removed,
right?
And then if there's no complications for the new kidney being installed, I mean, right, you might end up coming back
right away,
you know, fairly quickly,
or a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? No good deed ever goes unpunished.
No. I don't, yeah, that's a complicated one. I don't think she'll really get anywhere with the wrongful, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure they can be like, well, she left work all the time and never said anything. And then it's, you know, one word against the other word. She was better off, you know, hey, it's because of me you moved to the front of the line.
Yeah.
And now I'm losing my job because
of complications,
moving you to the front of the line, you know what I mean? So, but even then, I mean, it's totally up to the judge where they feel it's like, well, nobody told you to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a risk you take when you try to help people, is that sometimes it goes wrong, I guess. But still, that's kind of bullshit.
It is bullshit. That's why, if anybody out there does it from here on out, get a blank check so you can...
Yeah.
If you get fired, it's no big deal. You can start adding zeros.
Yeah. Next, I got a question for you in the next story. Have you ever watched a Special Olympics, saw a retarded kid run faster than you can, and felt bad about yourself?
No.
I'm watching the Special Olympics. This kid is running, and he does the 100-meter dash and much faster than I have ever been able to. And I was like, man, fuck these guys. Okay. If that's ever happened to you, you should stop listening now. Because a 7-year-old Annie Clark has won the first ever Nicholas Maximum Award for penmanship, a feat made even more amazing by the fact that she was born with no hands.
How'd she write with her feet?
She holds the pencil between the nubs of her arms and writes, and her penmanship is still so good that she won a penmanship award.
Good Lord. Which country was that in?
In the United States.
In the United States?
That's right. Yep. It's like she won $1,000 or something. And the award is part of a penmanship competition held by a company that holds an annual penmanship competition.
But for disabled people or everybody?
No, for everybody. I couldn't find the name of the company that holds the competition, but the article just said it's a publisher of language arts and reading textbooks. I couldn't find the company's name.
I'm sure it's for special kids.
Well, no. I mean, they have a special award for people. They have a separate award for people who have...
Disabilities,
but the picture in the article, her penmanship is better than mine, and I have both my hands.
Oh wow!
So yeah, so if you've ever felt bad, yeah, I'd rather watch the retarded kid run faster than me, frankly, than watch someone with no hands write better than me.
That'd be hilarious.
I mean,
I'm gonna get to the end. Good morning.
here's the good part about this. She writes it with the pen or pencil between the ends of her forearms. After the ceremony when she was given the award, she was asked if she was nervous about the attention, and the girl said, not really, but kind of. Not really, so no, but yes. She's going to be the next president of the United States.
Definitely.
She's advising Mitt Romney right now.
Probably.
That's why he changes his
slogan every speech.
Yeah, that's why he's changing his stance on everything all the time.
He's still going to give Barack a run for his money, too. That's probably going to be the most hilarious thing.
Yeah. Come on.
This next election is going to be the biggest Romney joke.
Are people going to vote for Mittens, really?
I think so.
Actually, I wish his name were really Mittens and Mittens short for that, but his name is Willard.
Oh, really?
It would be perfect.
How do they call him Willard?
Yeah. Would you want to be called Willard?
I think... No, I wouldn't. But how do they get Mitt out of Willard?
You know, I don't know. But, you know, it was funny. Shortly after he got into office, I remember seeing this thing where President Obama and Joe Biden, the vice president, went to get a burger. And Obama asked the guy making the burgers, do you have arugula? It's kind of lettuce. It's kind of lettuce. So he wanted a certain kind of lettuce. And, of course, they don't have arugula. They got iceberg just like everybody else.
Right.
But, you know, they made a big deal about, oh, this guy wants arugula. Mr. Fancy Pants wants arugula. But now those same people who are like, oh, Mr. Fancy Pants wants arugula, want to promote a guy for president who's building an elevator for his car in his mansion.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, really?
In his new mansion, yeah.
You know, you want to vote for a rich guy, fine, but don't... Mitt Romney said Barack Obama... Oh, one of the problems with him is he spent too much time at Harvard. Barack Obama spent 4 years at Harvard in law school. Mitt Romney, or I'm sorry, Barack Obama spent 3 years in Harvard at law in law school. Mitt Romney spent 4 years in Harvard getting his degree.
Mm.
Okay, so Mitt Romney spent more time at Harvard than Barack Obama did.
Right.
If Barack Obama spent too much time at Harvard, what did Mitt Romney do?
Right.
Oh, well, that's different, though.
It's different.
I guess that makes it all white. I'm a white guy saying that, all right? Okay, and final news story. I have some good news for fans of Starbucks. They're going to stop using dye made from crushed bugs.
Crushed bugs?
That's right. There's a red dye called cochineal extract, which is extracted from certain cactus-eating beetles.
Hmm.
Starbucks was using it in their, Strawberries and Cream Frappuccino, a couple of their pastry items, and a couple of their, oh, here it is, strawberry banana smoothies, raspberry swirl cake, red velvet whoopie pies, and a few other items. It's just a red coloring.
It comes from a beetle.
Yeah, it comes from a beetle. So the reason they switched to this from something else is because their customers were asking, they were using a chemically made dye before, and their customers were complaining that they should use more natural
ingredients
in their products. And, you know, beetles are natural, so they switched to cochineal extract because it's extracted from a beetle, but now the vegans are all in an uproar because it's made from an animal.
Yeah, but
even though it's a bug.
It's a bug, right?
Yes, Starbucks' new red dye is really bugging the vegans, but I'm bummed. I love puns.
Wow.
The company also uses the crushed bug in, you know, just trying to, you know, yeah, really technically the bugs are natural. Cliff Burrows, the president of Starbucks US, said the company had fallen short of customer expectations by switching to the bug-based dye.
That's a lot of bugs.
That is a lot of bugs. I mean, how are you going to raise that many bugs just to get a food coloring out of it? That's a lot of bugs.
That's a lot of bugs.
Well, anyway.
Wow.
So, if you go to Starbucks and you don't want to eat bugs, get something chocolate,
yes,
or
know, clear.
Here's the best
clearer
part.
Clearer the better.
They're not just removing the dye; they're going to phase it out.
So they'll still.
They should have all of the cochineal extract gone by June. So they're like, okay, we're going to stop using the bugs in about a month and a half, but we got all this bug juice built up.
Yeah, what are we going to do with the bug juice?
We're going to go ahead and use up what we have. And then we'll switch once that's done.
Well, if it goes away before June, check out your pastry. It might be in the local pastry.
Well, you know, if their pastries are going to last till June, maybe those aren't the most natural pastries in the world. I mean, there might be some preservatives in there if they're lasting that long.
Yeah, I can't get over how many bugs that has to be for every Starbucks to be using this dye.
Well, you don't have to use a whole lot, but I don't imagine you're going to get a whole lot of the extract from each bug. You probably got at least two or three bugs per strawberries and cream frappuccino. Well, depending on what size. That would be the venti.
Venti, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's hard. You're right. Mm-hmm. How much dye do you get out of one beetle?
I don't know. That's what Wikipedia is for, I guess.
Somebody's put that in there.
Yeah. I'll put a link to the Wikipedia page for cochineal extract.
Yeah,
in the show notes. Well, actually, we're running out of time here. You got anything exciting going on in the next week or two? You got new shows coming up? You're gonna be doing? Or?
Not too much lately. I'm just in this little Hollywood improv competition.
Oh, cool.
We're in the final rounds, I think, or coming up the final rounds on that. See how that turns out. It's a chance to be on one of their stages down there.
Oh, cool.
Other than that, it'll just be back, you know, trying to get back up north to get booked for shows and gigs up there.
Cool. So, once a season ends and I'm not working evenings anymore, I'm going to have to try to con you into dragging me up there so I can see some of the open mics. I know my cousin, I got a cousin who lives in San Francisco. He's been wanting me to come up to do some comedy up there. So
it's a nice area. Like I told you before we were on, nice area. Like I said, the people give you love, and they make sure all the new comics or nobody new comes up that everybody cheers for him. You know what I mean? So it's you really never feel like, you know, half of a clap or a quarter of a clap when you're coming on or going off. Everybody gives the same amount of cheers and roars. Yeah. It's just awesome, man. I'm sprung on it.
Yeah, cool, cool. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
No problem, man. I'm sorry, a little small plug. I cut JT off. It's all good. Check me out on my webpage, SeanBoogieComedy.com, and let me know what you think. Also, I'm on Twitter, SeanBoogieJokes. So,
all right, cool. I'll get you to write that down. I'm going to put links to those in the show notes as well, so everyone can find those. You can find me, website of the podcast is bittercomics.podbean.com. You can find me at JTForeman72 on Twitter. Find me on Facebook at just Joel Foreman or JT Foreman, and check out my YouTube videos, JTForeman72. Thanks a lot for listening to the show. Thanks a lot, Sean, for coming out.
No problem at all, man. You guys have good times.
We are the Bitter Comics, and we are out. Talk to you next week.
See ya.